Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
This is a story about me, my life, and how I've changed, how I feel about things. It's just me. I'm not trying to change anybody else. I don't believe anybody is born prejudiced, okay? I think you're either taught that or you observe it and you see it, or you're raised in an atmosphere or a social setting that promotes it. And that's the way I was brought up. I was born in Norfolk, Virginia, and it was during segregation. So I saw a lot of segregation and people being oppressed because of their color. And as I went through life and became a young man and got into the working field and got married, I started meeting people of color and working with them, and I changed my opinions that I had been brought on me all my life. So I realized that they were the same as me, and they had all the rights, and they were just good people trying to make a living and raise their family. But I still had one prejudice that I always kept until I was in my middle 50s, and that was against the LGBTQ community. I just could not accept those people. I didn't understand them. I didn't like it. I was rude to them, but it was a culture I was brought up in, just like the prejudice against black people. But about 20 years ago, our son Adam came to us and told us he was gay. I had a pretty tough time with that, but I couldn't accept it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't understand it. I was just torn what to do. So I came to this church and talked to our preachers at the time, was Julian Sulgent and Patricia Jarvis. And I sat down with them and I told them my problem. And they said, well, Luther, Adam was brought into this world just like you were. He's a son of God. He can't help what he is. That's the way God put him on this earth. And that he's loved like anybody else, and he should be treated the same as anybody else. Well, I kind of bought that, but I still had in my heart, I said, I don't understand why he's that way. I said, I think he made a choice to be that way. I said, I think he wants to be that way. And Patricia looked at me and said, Luther, I can't believe you said that. She said that, why would somebody choose to live that way? This, with being oppressed and people, you know, they have to hide it. Why would anybody want to choose to be that? You know, she said, he was brought in this world. We don't know why, but that way. And he can't change, and he's that way. And she woke me up then. I just thought, well, I have been wrong all my life. I said, he was brought that way. He can't change. He was put here just the way he was, and he can't change what he is any more than I can change the color of my skin. I left out one thing. I was brought up, I wasn't taught to be prejudiced. I was taught the golden rule, which is to treat others as you'd want to be treated. And that's the way I was brought up, but I had a little limit there. I treated everybody that was like me the golden rule. I didn't treat other people that way if they were a little different. So our church is going to face this crisis, our change here in February, like Reverend Tim said. And throughout this whole thing, people have been saying to me, well, what would Jesus do in a situation like this? Well, we know that what Jesus would do. He would accept everybody. And that's the way I am about it. I accept everybody. And I don't think the question should be, what would Jesus do? But the question should probably be, what should I do? So I thank you for letting me share that with you. And God bless us all. Thank you.
For Christ. child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And she sat opposite him. She lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is a very difficult message for me. I ask for your prayers. The descendants of Ishmael are basically the Arab world. And the descendants of Isaac are basically the Jewish world. Now we know that the Arabs and the Jews have been fighting and warring and killing one another for thousands of years. And we know that for the most part, there are three major faith traditions in the world today. Judaism, Christianity, and the Muslim faith. And we know primarily that the Muslim faith is made up primarily of the Arab race. And we know that the Jewish faith is made up of those of the Jewish faith, and the Christian faith, we are descendants of Abraham. We are children of Abraham, grafted in as the New Testament teaches. Three of the most primary faiths of the world are found in these two descendants. The descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael. We have been taught, even in our churches, from the beginning of time, that Isaac is God's chosen. And I fear that we have been taught that what Sarah did was not wrong. Sarah would have made Hagar and Ishmael disposable. That's what she would have done. But someone intervened. God intervened. God said in the text, you heard Becky read it, and it's there in your bulletin. When Hagar and Ishmael were sent away to basically die in the wilderness, God intervened, saved them both, and announced that Ishmael's descendants would also be a great nation. It grieves me tremendously to think about how, over the history of the world, human beings have fought and killed one another because we had a different point of view. You know, have you ever been jealous? Don't stretch it here now. Have you ever been jealous? Sarah was jealous. There's no other way to say it. She was just simply jealous. She did not want Hagar. She did not want Ishmael in her sight any longer. We can say this grieved God, and we know it did grieve God, but it grieved somebody else in the story. Did you hear that? It grieved Abraham. Why would it grieve Abraham? Because Abraham was the father of them both. And we live today as though Abraham was only the father of Isaac. My friends, Abraham was the father of Isaac and Ishmael. And so this is where I draw my message from today. There were two children, but there is only one world. God didn't take Ishmael and shoot him up into a rocket to another planet. Although probably we'd be better off if he had of. God left Ishmael and the descendants of Ishmael right here on this planet with the rest of us. Did you know that in the United Methodist Church, in the Book of Resolutions, there is a document that tells us that today in the United States, and this is a little old, but the Book of Resolutions is one of these statements of the United Methodist Church. It says today in the United States, there are approximately 3 million persons who are adherents to the Muslim faith. Arab Americans, both Christians and Muslims, constitute a growing number of people in the American population. These persons are suffering the effects of a particularly violent prejudice, too often aided and abetted by statements and images in the media and the rhetoric from some of the highest political leadership. The suffering of this community has increased dramatically since the tragic events of September 11, 2001, and is a part of the fabric of racism in the United States, in which both subtle and violent acts continue against ethnic groups and persons. Such acts are also being perpetrated against Arab and Muslim communities in America. These expressions of racism manifested in violent acts have increased significantly since September 11, 2001. Here's my question. Is what Sarah did to Hagar and Ishmael anything new? Are we still doing it? And by the way, just so we're a little more clear here, the idea of Ishmael and Hagar was not Abraham's idea. Go back and read the text. It was Sarah's idea. Sarah was the first one. Remember, she was in the tent in the background when the angel announced to Abraham he was going to have a child, and Sarah laughed. That's what the word Isaac means, laughter. It is kind of funny to think a 90-year-old woman having a baby. But she believed that maybe this was God's way, that Hagar would raise up a child, that she would that would carry on the family's name. But that was not God's intention. And when Isaac was born, Sarah then began to feel like what she had done maybe wasn't the right thing, and she'd just like to wipe it away. And while God wipes away the sins of our lives, my friends, God does not always wipe away the consequences. We still have to live with the reality of what we've done and the choices we've made. And so here we have two children fathered by Abraham, who are seeking to find their way in the world. Brian McLaren is one of my favorite writers, and I read a lot of his work, and I've attended a number of conferences where he's been one of the keynote speakers. And I want to read to you something he has said. In an age of religious violence like ours, people care much less about what you believe and much more about whether you'll kill for what you believe. So if you haven't figured out what you're going to do with a passage like this, you still have some important work to do. If you haven't grappled with the passages in your Bible that are like a loaded gun, theologically, that would actually grant to people a license to kill, you have to find a way to disarm your faith as a potential instrument of hate and convert it into an instrument of love. You have to convert Christianity from a warrior religion to a reconciling religion. Otherwise, your neighbors around you will tolerate you the way they might tolerate a chemical plant that could at any moment blow up and kill them all. And here's an example. One night, he was in a meeting, and there was a student. And the student was sitting near the front, and he got up. His name was Gavin. And he got up to his feet, and he pulled out his wallet, and he pulled out a card, and he began to wave it for dramatic effect. And he said to Brian McLaren, "I strongly disagree with you." He said, "If something is in the Word of God, then we must keep it in our pocket at all times, including passages that reveal God as violent. If the Bible reveals that God is violent, and if God commands us to do violence, it must be a just and holy violence, so I will defend it with my life." Some students nodded affirmingly as he sat down, and a few may even have clapped and said amen. Others grew wide-eyed as if they had no idea what was going on or what was going to happen next. But bang, there it was, he says. "You can be a good Christian, at least in the midst of some places and some highly regarded schools, and boldly uphold the right to kill other people of other religions in the name of Jesus, because you can justify it with a chapter and a verse in the Bible." Did you know that in the history of America, that the early settlers drove out and massacred Indians, and not all of them were violent? Some of them were kind and peace-loving and believed in the Great Spirit. From this vantage point, Christianity has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with indigenous people, about how to live in a people who believed in a good way of life in this land. In fact, Christians have only demonstrated that there is something profoundly wrong with the cosmology and the worldview behind more than five centuries of carnage that has yet to even slow down. Christians have so much negative history and dogma to overcome within their own tradition. I do not believe that the religion of is even savable. The world is in deep throes of an economical crisis, an ecological crisis, and the planet will not survive another 500 years of Christian domination. Whew. That's some strong words. Sarah thought she had privilege and status because she was the recipient of God's promise and her son Isaac with Abraham. The kingdom of God, however, privilege and status are not defined in terms of citizenship, ethnicity, or heritage. We are members of God's covenant people. Yes, we are. But that does not mean that God loves or favors any others more than God loves and favors us. God loves all people. Thank you, Luther. Where have we gotten sidetracked to somehow believe that God doesn't love other people or any other group of people? God help us. In fact, the status to which we are all called is to be servants to the rest of humanity. The truth demands that we include those whom we may have decided no longer fit into our plans. God help us. The bottom line today is that Isaac and Ishmael were both sons of Abraham. If I preach this, it tells me, I'll get in trouble. Some of you may leave here today saying, that's the last time I'll set foot in Lewisburg United Methodist Church. But you check out the text. You look at it. God said to Hagar and Ishmael that he did not wish for their death. In fact, I believe there's another verse in the Bible that says God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone, and especially not the wicked. Of all the things the Bible says about God, the one thing it says most profoundly and intentionally is that God is love. I'm not the same preacher that I was 30 years ago or 38 years ago when I started. Did you know that there are some people who have given up on Christianity? They're just about ready to hang it up because of what they've witnessed in good, well-intentioned Christian people. But if you read the Bible, and if you really look carefully into the text of the pages, you'll discover that even though human beings can make a mess out of things, God never intended for those messes to ruin the intent for humanity. I've got this plate at our house. I don't remember, Reba, who gave it to us, but on it it says, only God can turn a mess into a message. I look at it quite often. Have that ever happened in your life? Have you ever made a mess of things and God turned it into a message? I think that's exactly what happened in this text today. Abraham and Sarah, they knew that God had a special purpose for their lives, but they made a little mess of things. And God was trying to send a message to them. Yeah, you may have thought that the promise was in Ishmael, but it was always going to be in Isaac. But that doesn't mean Ishmael is discounted and Ishmael is of no purpose and Ishmael's going to die in the wilderness. God loved them both. Don't ever forget that. God loved both of them. And God still does to this day. May God help us to hear this word and to live this word in the way we treat our fellow human being. This is Human Relations Sunday in United Methodist churches everywhere. It's a Sunday, not just for recognizing great leaders like Martin Luther King Jr., which he was, but it's a Sunday for us to remember that we are one world and we are all people on that globe. And God calls us to find a way to live at peace and understanding with each other. Not always easy. Not always easy. God help us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.